Good morning, church. Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And we are grateful that you are with us today. A couple of announcements. We are, in addition to coffee hour, we are undecorating this beautiful sanctuary after church. So if you are able to stay and help undecorate so we can all go home more quickly, that would be great. And then enjoy coffee and everything as well. And on a personal note, I have never been so thankful for church coffee hour because I overslept this morning and didn't get to make coffee before I got here. So it's one of those things. Also, if you are a committee chair, it's annual report prep time. So you have 5 days, 5 days, to get your reports in, and that includes me, so I've got to get to work too. And then your state of officers, for this year as well. So please send that to Alana in the church office, and she will be grateful to receive that. And if you're late, she'll bug you, so you probably don't want to be on that list. That's all I know that I have. I know Becky's got one.
Good morning. I actually have two. The first one is youth group chaperones. We are in need of chaperones. The sign-up sheet is on the butcher block, so if you can help us out, please take a look and see if some Wednesdays will work for you. My other one is a plea for help on diaconate. They're two members short, and I just want you to know a little something. I didn't have a clue what diaconate did, and I think we were in the middle of COVID, and I got on diaconate and thought, okay, this will be easy, I can, no problem, and there was no chair, and it was Paul Reynolds and I, and I'm like, oh boy, we need help. So of course we reached out to past diaconate members, Laura being one, and we got all the help in the world, and we slowly built our committee and grew our committee. Penny came on, Joe came on, I think now Dewey Stelzel's on. I think Steve Chenet joined. It's really a nice group of people. Penny is the chair, and you couldn't have a nicer chair. It's not overly difficult at all. It's a one meeting a month, and they try to keep it to a max of an hour, try to be cognizant of everybody's time. You can meet by Zoom if you can't come in. And then they take turns with the communion, and they always make sure there's two people for communion because this is a little bit of work to do, but it's only, you take turns on that rotation. So if you have it in your heart to help out diaconate, please talk to Penny. Thank you.
Thank you, Becky. Any other announcements this morning? And to that end,
if anybody donated for the poinsettias, the poinsettias are welcome to take them home afterwards. Otherwise, they will be composted.
Okay, thank you. And to that end, with communion, for those of you joining us on Zoom, this is your reminder to grab items from your pantry so that you can join us in that later on in the service. So, seeing no more announcements, let's share the peace of Christ with one another. Morning, Jim. Peace. And then, if you're comfortable, will you please rise and join me in the call to worship? Christmas star shining in the darkness, you led the Magi to the Christ child. Light of Christ, chase away all darkness, illuminate our path, and lead us to the heart of God. Morning sun, rising on a new year, you grant us new life. Light of God, forgive our sin and set us free from all that has bound us. Grant that we may begin anew in this year with grace and blessing. Spirit of life, gleaming in our eyes, you make us your beautiful children. And then let's join in the opening prayer. O God of light and peace, whose glory, shining in the child of Bethlehem, still draws the nations to yourself, dispel the darkness that shrouds our path, that we may come to kneel before Christ in true worship, offer him our hearts and souls, and return from his presence to live as he has taught. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 231, Arise, Your Light Has Come. Amen. You may be seated. Now comes the time for any young worshipers that we have today to come up and join Becky and I up on the steps.
There we go. I got something for you. See that? You're welcome. You got to give these back, though, because we use these at Christmas Eve, okay? So we'll just share these today. If you want two, you can even have two. Yeah. Cool. All right. Ah, all right, now you can turn your light on. See the button on the bottom? Slide it over. Can you slide that one? There you go. Yeah, that's pretty cool. All right. This morning's Children Time theme is Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. So those lights that you're shining are representing Jesus. Okay? Jesus said in the book of John, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So we're going to talk about this light and what it represents. Do you ever hear of the word sin? No, never heard of sin, sinfulness. They never heard of it. Okay, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Well, sin is doing something that makes Jesus sad. That's what sin is. Can you think of something that might make Jesus sad if you did something? Can you think of anything?
No.
You don't know? Okay.
Maybe
her brother knows.
Hurting someone,
he said. Yeah, that's a good example. That would make Jesus sad. Did you ever argue with each other?
No.
Never argue with each other? Got that? That's incorrect? You're good.
We always argue.
I did with my brothers and sisters, too.
And I'll tell you a little secret. Sometimes adults argue with each other, too.
Oh, adults do it, too. Sure. You ever pick on each other? Oh, yeah. They're just grinning from ear to ear. Well, sometimes when we do this kind of stuff, it does make Jesus sad. So what we want to do is let our light shine, because the light represents Jesus, and Jesus represents good. So whenever we see a light on, we got the Christmas tree lights on, we got your candle lights on, the ones in the side window are hard to see, and I know a couple batteries are out. Good thing we have to take the decorations down today. But Jesus reminds us to be kind, so we're going to let this light remind us to be kind. And I thought it would be fun today to sing the song. You know the song? This Little Light of Mine? So I'm going to invite the congregation, and we're going to let it be led by, I think Alana found a gospel choir singing this song on Spotify, is it? And we're going to let her play it, and we're going to just sing the first verse twice. We won't have the words on the screen. We're hoping to get help from you guys with all your great memories. Okay, and we're going to stand up, and we're going to shine our lights and sing the song through twice. How does that sound? It's a fun song. All right, yeah. You got to get into it. So let's stand up.
Gospel music is always fun.
All right.
I'm going to let it shine, this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine, this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
Good job.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Good. All right. Well, thank you. Pastor Jacob, can you lead us in prayer before we go back to our seats?
Absolutely. I'm going to say a short phrase, and I invite you to repeat it back to me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For teaching us.
For teaching us.
How to let our light shine.
How to let our light shine.
Help us. Shine our lights,
shine our lights.
with love,
for others,
for ourselves,
for our parents,
for our children,
for people older than us,
for people younger than us,
and everybody,
everywhere we go. Amen. Thanks, Becky. That was fun. Our first reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, your light is come. The Lord's glory has shone upon you. Though darkness covers the earth and gloom the nations, the Lord will shine upon you. God's glory will appear over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to your dawning radiance. Lift up your eyes and look all around. They are gathered. They have come to you. Your sons will come from far away, and your daughters on caregivers' hips. Then you will see and be radiant. Your heart will tremble and open wide, because the sea's abundance will be turned over to you. The nation's wealth will come to you. Countless camels will cover your land, young camels from Midian and Ephah. They will all come from Sheba, carrying gold and incense, proclaiming the Lord's praises. Then finally, from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the territory of Judea during the rule of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east and we've come to honor him." When King Herod heard this, he was troubled, and everyone in Jerusalem was troubled with him. He gathered all the chief priests and all the legal experts and asked them where the Christ child was to be born. They said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what the prophet wrote. You, Bethlehem, land of Judah, by no means are you least among the rulers of Judah, because from you will come one who governs, who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and found out from them the time that the star had first appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you found him, report back to me so that I too may go and honor him." When they heard the king, they went, and look, the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother. Falling to their knees, they honored him. Then they opened their treasure chests and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Because they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went back to their own country by another route. Here end the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen. My friends, will you join me in prayer? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts in this hour be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So my main Christmas tree in my living room in my townhome is a 7-foot-tall artificial tree, which stays up probably most way through January. But in my bedroom, I have a little 3-foot tall tree which sits on top of a file cabinet and stays up all throughout the winter. I affectionately call it my winter tree. It has colored lights on it, and it's a bit Charlie Brownie-ish. You know I'm a sucker for Charlie Brown, and of course I have a Charlie Brown tree in my house. But it served an important purpose for me for a number of years. So ever since high school, I've shown the signs and symptoms of seasonal affective disorder, which I now know are probably more likely symptoms of the moderate anxiety and mild depression that I was diagnosed with last year. Winters have always been the hardest. And living with a disability, I'm more prone to slip and fall than some people. And I've never particularly liked cold weather. I blame my parents for living here in Wisconsin, and part of me wouldn't have been opposed to go to a warmer climate, but here I am. So as a way to cope with the difficulties of this time of year, I've always kept the winter tree up until spring comes, as a reminder that the light will continue to be with me all season. The winter tree reminds me that joy and celebration can still be present in times of struggle, even in the form of a little Charlie Brown tree. Now, I don't tell you this in order for you to feel sorry for me or to worry about the state of my mental health or anything like that. But instead, I tell you this because millions of Americans live with anxiety or depression and learn over time to develop some kind of coping mechanism that helps them get through difficult times. And if you don't personally experience this, anyone who has lived with anxiety or depression at any point in their life and the many other illnesses that stem from anxiety and depression will tell you that people's mood can fluctuate. Sometimes you feel great, whether it's because of something good happening in your life or some other reason why you feel good, or some days you're just better able to manage your symptoms. And maybe you're responding well to medication or prayer or meditative practices or whatever you do. And at other times, it's harder to be resilient and get through the day. And this is made even worse by the fact that society and, frankly, the church often stigmatizes those who live with mental health conditions, saying that they need to pray more, or that they need to lean on Jesus more. Or in essence, suck it up, buttercup. All this while depression, anxiety, and suicide rates are going way up in this country and around the world. Think about that. So of course, the people in biblical times didn't have the terminology that we do now to discuss mental health conditions. But as I reflect on today's scripture passages, it's pretty clear that the people in biblical times were certainly dealing with anxiety or depression over the state of their world. Today's text from the book of Isaiah situates us in the third section of the book. Isaiah is really long. The third section of the book of Isaiah has what the commentator Julia M. O'Brien describes as a pessimistic and frustrated tone. The anonymous writer of the book accuses God of being silent and unfaithful and pleads for God to intervene against the injustice that the people are experiencing. Indeed, one chapter earlier, the writer of this book laments, "Because of all this, justice is far from us, and righteousness is beyond our reach. We expect light, and there's darkness. We await a gleam of light, but walk about in gloom. The people of biblical times are looking for something, anything, that will give them relief from their plight. And so far, they're not finding it. And elsewhere in the New Testament, King Herod in Jerusalem is afraid of a threat to his power. And that's why today's text in Matthew's gospel begins by saying, when King Herod heard this, he was troubled, and everyone in Jerusalem was troubled with him. Everyone in Jerusalem is now troubled over what will happen if a competing ruler comes to challenge Herod. As the commentator Meta Stamper puts it, a troubled Herod is a dangerous Herod. So both of today's scriptures describe sort of the precarious position of the people of God in their own way. So what are they to do? Who is going to be the liberator in a time of distress and discrimination? Of course, we already know what the answer to that is. And on this Epiphany Sunday, which I forgot to tell you it's Epiphany, by the way, surprise. On this Epiphany Sunday, we recognize that Jesus is coming to make the world better. The entirety of his ministry was for the poor, the marginalized, and the oppressed. And this is why celebrating Epiphany is so important. Celebrating that our light has come through Jesus Christ seems in a way like an abstract theological concept that doesn't have the same fanfare as celebrating Christmas, and certainly doesn't have the same level of Hallmark movie flair. Have you ever seen any Hallmark Epiphany movies? Yeah, no, I didn't think so. But it doesn't make it any less important. To the people in biblical times, waiting for the light to come in Jesus Christ was utterly life-changing, and in many cases, life-saving. Celebrating Epiphany can also remind us that the light is still present, even as things look bleak on the outside. No matter what kind of darkness we might feel in the world, the light of Christ continues to be with us and guide our way. And when I think about this congregation, sharing the light seems like such a natural idea. The light that is in your hearts is so bright. This is a congregation who loves Jesus and wants to communicate how his love can cover the marginalized and the oppressed, when other churches in our lives might turn people away. We believe in an extravagant welcome, and I believe we're trying to do our best to live into it in ways that we can. So the question I have for you today is this one. How will you celebrate the light coming into your own life? Will you be like me, putting up a Charlie Brown winter tree every year in a comforting act of resistance to the culture of pessimism that so often causes us to lose our perspective? Will you do good work in the community that others will be able to experience the light of love you have found in Jesus through your own words and actions? No matter what you do, may you do so in gratitude for the ways that the light has been shown for you. May you remember the ways that you took comfort in Christ and his love at a time when things were difficult for you. when you share this love with others, I believe that, as the book of Isaiah says, your light will shine forth. Thanks be to God. Amen. So now our next hymn is a new one for this congregation, and it's a sort of newish one for me as well, but the first time I heard it, I really liked it, and I thought I would like to share it with you. So this is number 248. This is called I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light. I'm going to sing the first verse and just follow along in your hymnal. And then after that, if you'd like, you're welcome to sing along with Sue and I as we sing the rest of them.
I want to walk as a child of the light. I want to follow Jesus. God set the stars to give light to the world. The star of my life is Jesus. In him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. The Lamb is the light of the city of God. Shine on my heart, Lord Jesus.
Thank you for singing. I know that's not always the easiest thing to do, to sing something you've never sung before. So I appreciate it. Sometimes we have to do brave things as the people of God. So now we come into a time of more intentional prayer. So let's pause and take a deep breath and some moments of silence as we think of the people and situations that are on our hearts today. Receive the prayers of our hearts, O God. Amen. So I have a couple of prayer requests that I was given. The first is a huge joy. The Wallendahl family just moved back into their house this week. Yes. So we give thanks for all of those who took care of their house after their massive water main break, and give thanks for all of you who helped them in their time of need. So for that massive joy, God in your mercy. Then I got a text message this morning from Lori Vant Hoff. She's requesting continued prayers for her brother Tom. He had a successful heart surgery, but he's facing some complications, and he's still in the hospital. So for Tom and his medical team, God in your mercy. What other prayers do we bring this morning? Thought I saw a hand. No. Okay. Alana, anything on Zoom?
No.
Okay. Then let us be in a spirit of prayer. God, in your grace and love, you teach us how to walk as children of the light. You teach us how to follow Jesus and to trust in him when times are hard. We give you thanks for gathering us all together, that we can remember that. And we give you thanks for the ways that you have been present to us in our time of need. We especially give thanks for a safe place for the Wallendahl family to lay their heads. And we give thanks for this congregation's generosity and showing their light in a time of need. We also pray for Tom and for Rick and for Lori and for Tom's medical team as Tom continues to be in the hospital. We also pray for all of those who are in need of God, your presence, God, in their mind or their body or their spirit. Be with those who are discriminated against. Show them your love. Be with those who are without a safe home. Help us give them the refuge that we can give them. Help us be with those who are facing poverty and food insecurity, and help us provide for them with what we can. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, the newborn baby who turned the world upside down and taught us to walk in his way and taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. Please give generously as your heart and spirit invite you to give. You may do so by placing a gift into the offering plate as the ushers come around, or you may also give online at uccwaupun.net. Thank you. rise if it's comfortable for you to do so. Join me in the prayer of dedication. God of grace, the light of your love shines in us through Jesus Christ. We bring our gifts to you that you might help us use them for love and justice in the world. Amen. You may be seated. We now come to Christ's table and share in the bounty that he has given for us. And just as a reminder that this table does not belong to me, it does not belong to this church, but it belongs to Christ. Christ is the host and invites all to participate, whether you are a member of this church or this denomination or not. This table is for you. Beloved, God is with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the faithful one, our God. Loving God, creator of all, we give you thanks. The light of your love is the star by which we find our way. And the love of your heart. You call us your children. Set us free from what imprisons us. And make us one in your grace. And so, we offer you gifts, together with people of every race and nation, kneeling in reverence and singing your praise with one voice. Blessed are all who come in your name, and blessed in Jesus your Christ, who shone with your light, who taught and healed and blessed us. Jesus, Prince of Peace, proclaimed an empire of grace. In this meal, we are one with Christ and one with all peoples. On the night in which he gave himself for us, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave you thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this and remember me." Then after they were finished eating, Jesus took a cup, poured it out and blessed it and gave thanks and said, "This is my blood, given for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this and remember me." As long as we break this bread and share this cup, we remember his death and resurrection until he comes again. Therefore, remembering Christ's gifts for us, we kneel and open the treasure chests of our hearts, offering ourselves as a living and holy sacrifice, proclaiming the mystery at the heart of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and cup, that they may be for us the body and blood of Christ. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, one in your love and one in love for the world. By your grace, may our every step be a journey toward you. May we in every moment kneel in reverence. May we continually offer the gifts your Spirit bestows, for the sake of love and justice, and for the sake of your delight. Amen. Now we come and share the elements together. Just a note that you may come by way of either side aisle. There are by the way of the center aisle, and there are elements on either side, and then you can return to your seats by the way of the side aisle. There are gluten-free crackers inside of the smaller bowls, and the bread does contain gluten, and we are drinking grape juice. So the gifts of God are given for the people of God. For all things are now ready. Please join me in the prayer after communion. God of love, you feed us for the journey. The star of your grace shines on us and guides our way. We bear the gift of your Spirit into this world, knowing that whoever receives them is a Christ child. Guide us, guard us, and lead us in the ways of peace, to bring light to all those who dwell in darkness. In the name and company of Jesus. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 233, We Three Kings. kind of ironic that myrrh is a gift that one of the kings have brought in a way, because if it breathes a life of gathering gloom, is that really a gift you want to bring to a baby? I don't know. My friends, receive these words of benediction. May you go out from this place and let your light shine. As the light of Christ has come in your life, may you know that it is here for your benefit. And may you go share it with others, because there is so much despair in the world that needs a little light and needs the light that you have to shine. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit go with us now and forevermore. Go in peace. Amen.